Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining us. For those of you who don't know, my name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to be here moderating today's webinar on technology as a competitive differentiator. Long considered a reluctant investment, technology is now being used by companies in the credit collection industry as a competitive differentiator. Clients are requiring collection operations have certain products and services, and companies that are at the forefront of adopting new technology are winning more business. On this webinar, which is being sponsored by InterPros, a panel of executives from the credit collection industry are here today to share how technology can be a tool that companies use to separate themselves from their competitors. Again, this webinar is being very generously sponsored by InterPros. You'll get the chance to hear more from them a little later in our program. I wanted to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use, and it's a great resource of news and insight to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now, let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. John Brown is the Chief Operating Officer of Creditor Advocates. John is an Army veteran, has bachelor's degrees in engineering and science, and is a former Six Sigma Black Belt instructor with leadership experience, and has been a featured speaker on accounts receivable compliance. John is an expert in automation, analytics, integration, and providing solutions to hard-to-solve problems. He enjoys spending time with his family in Prior Lake, Minnesota, hockey, fishing, and hunting. Sheila Monroe joined True Accord in November 2018 with 30 years of experience in the credit collection and banking industry. She spent several years at Alliance Data overseeing fraud, credit, and collection functions. More recently, she held roles at the British-based bank Barclays PLC as the Global Chief Operating Officer for Barclays Card, and before that, as the Global Head of Collections and Recoveries. During this time, Sheila gained deep operational expertise with lending, servicing, collection, and other practices in several countries. Ryan Wiswall is the founder of Red Ink Group, a management consulting business built for the ARM industry. Before consulting, he worked for a debt collection agency as vice president for 11 years. His company focuses on helping businesses in the industry transition into a modern and competitive business. He specializes in strategic development, organizational strategies, technological integrations, reputation management, and branding. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions, and we'll get to them as the discussion is ongoing and once it has concluded. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available in the coming days, actually probably by later today, on accountsrecovery.net. Finally, I want to ask everyone to reserve a minute and fill out the feedback survey that should pop up on your screen after the webinar is over. You'll also receive a link via email tomorrow to access the survey. Your participation and your feedback helps me develop content that's what you're looking for, such as the topic we have for you today, and the speakers you want to hear from, which is definitely applied to the people we have here for you today. So please do that when you get a chance. With that, the introduction part is over, and we can move on to why you're all here today, and that's to hear from our experts on the topic of technology. So first, let's start at I like to start at a very high level and then drill down. So let's look at technology from a return on investment perspective. And Sheila, since you're on my screen, how can an agency use an ROI calculation to determine if a technology investment is going to be worthwhile?
Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks for the question. I tend to look at a technology investment in two different ways. One is an offense. So is it something that's going to advance your business in terms of recoveries results, in terms of improving OPEX? And then there's a defensive component to that investment. Is it an investment in technology that's going to be needed to preserve your business? So, if you ask yourself those sort of what if questions, what if phone-based contact rates slip another 50 basis points over the next 6 months and the next 6 months after that? What if you're dialing technology, there's a change of events in the courts and suddenly it's not viable anymore? So there's a bit of investment discussion about how do we kind of preserve our business and how do we future-proof the business. From an ROI standpoint, I think there's personal appetite on that in terms of what that payback hurdle needs to be, whether it's a year payback, it's 3 years if you have the appetite for that. But I think mainly if you're looking at how do I invest in technology, there is a payback component, but there's also a sort of what do consumers expect? What are the trends that you're going to have to meet in the future? What are the expectations of your clients and so forth to that component?
Yeah, so I would agree with what Sheila is saying. You know, from my experience, what we have seen is it boils down to a few different things as well, and it's that offensive versus defensive approach. It comes to a point where I think some clients pretty much force agencies to follow a certain trend or pattern, whether it be in the past taking on cards online or online access or a proactive approach where they're starting to do things like leveraging analytics or business intelligence software or things that are up and coming like machine learning and AI, which agencies are starting to jump on now. So using ROI sometimes is having to forecast and take a little bit of a guess, but more often than not, I've seen where good technology investments and good decisions usually pay off. So,
yeah, I would agree with you, Ryan. This is John. That's perfectly, you know, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And on offense and defense, I mean, you got to, from a 10,000 foot view, you have to know your numbers and you have to look at both sides of that return and investment side. And, you know, on the return side, you were hoping for is a decrease in costs, increased collection, you know, or an increase in quality or those items viewed as valuable by your clients. As you're looking at attacking costs, you know, you usually don't have to look any further than, you know, your P&L statements and should direct you to the biggest expenses hitting your bottom line. I know TransUnion just came out with a study as far as what are the expenses that most agencies kind of experience. In payroll and legal defense, I think represented just about over half of the major expenses out there. So any technology that could either increase your full-time FTE or decrease compliant exceptions would have an outsized impact on just about any other project out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this could probably be broken down into a few different things as well. External facing communications and technologies versus internal. Something like internal communication tools might not be as impactful on our bottom lines as something like payments online or enhancing online communications to external. Yep. So some of these things may be harder to measure in the sense that it might improve your efficiencies internally, but something like streamlining payments externally or online, you might see something that's easier to measure. So have you guys ever seen or implemented something that just didn't work out?
So Ryan, I think one of the comments that resonated with me there is that a lot of times clients are driving some of the requirements. And I see those clients more and more. So historically, a creditor would hire a group of collection agencies and let them actually compete. And I see creditors more and more seeking feature parity, kind of you must collect this way, here's the construct in which you collect, and here's the tools, and here's the cadence, and here's the offers, right? It's no more sort of a differentiated competition. I wonder, as you asked the next question, a lot of those things that clients ask for don't have a return necessarily, and how you're seeing that, how it's manifesting itself in your world, both Ryan and John.
Yeah, no,
I agree. It's almost like a pay to play.
Yes, right.
And I would say to that end, I mean, what you're doing is increasing the quality of your service to, you know, that particular client. I mean, at the end of the day, we're selling as customer service to, you know, our clients and to the consumers that we service. You know, any technology that would optimize communication or, you know, adhere to the client's preference to win that over that business is ultimately going to increase, you know, the return at least to your company there. So I would wholeheartedly agree that we see all those requirements too from our clients too as well.
Awesome. Excellent. Great start to the conversation. Let me just jump in and follow up on a couple of things. Ryan, you made a comment that I think was really accurate, but also in a way sort of a little subjective. And you said good investments tend to pay off. I guess, you know, the question, you know, the journalist in me is going to ask a question. How do you know if an investment is going to be good, or how do you know when an investment is good? Is it when it pays off that it sort of makes that, you know, sort of, you know, determines that for you?
Sure. There's different indicators that you can look at, from monetary indicators, things that you can benchmark. You know, you have a baseline and then you can measure it against. Was this achieved? Another one could be your employees. If those, if your employees are accepting or allowing that change to happen and they're receiving it as a positive, you could look at that as a success as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be valued from a monetization standpoint. With that said, obviously anything we do in business, we don't want to make a investment into something where we're paying too much and our return isn't going to be yielding us more money or more profit or more performance. So, you know, those things are going to have to be measured internally with each company and what their objectives are.
Yeah, I think there's something to determine whether an investment is going to be good based on, is it a data-driven decision you made in the first place? Were you looking at consumer behavior as the driver of whether you would make that investment? Because your bet in this space is that you're going to create another way for consumers to engage with you and interact with you, or you're going to create a scenario where it's easier to self-serve or easier to support your agents in being consistent and being effective. So I think if you start with the assumption of there's data that tells you you need to do something, and then using those leading indicators that you would see out of that data, whether it's better email open rates, better web engagement, a little bit more contact percentage, higher payments, you start to see some leading indicators of success there.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. What we try to do here before launching into any kind of technology project or any project for that matter is to try to determine or at least take a best guesstimate of what that ROI is going to be before we go further. Probably for most operations, just like ours, we seem to have more projects than we have resources. So we try to concentrate on resources on sort of the top projects that are going on. I would encourage right before you start any project, before you go any further, kind of look at, define the project that you're going into, and then try to measure at least the best you can what kind of return on investment that might be. If you dive into any kind of technology investment or project, you know, in my experience, largest part of that cost is the upfront costs with the integration, documentation, policy updates, training, and implementation. Mm-hmm. We always take the worst case scenario, and I tend to times it by two, and that comes in about the ballpark that I think that the project's going to cost us.
Oh, so it's sort of like
you had mentioned.
Go ahead,
Sheila.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say that you had mentioned something that I thought was good is when you're taking on a new technology or implementing really anything that has an impact on your business, looking at how that's going to impact other tools that you already have in place is something that you definitely need to do. If you implement a new technology and all of a sudden, you know, the training isn't there or your policies aren't updated or, you know, it affects something like a CRM or another software platform because it doesn't adhere or integrate well, sometimes that has some effects that cause issues. So looking at how all your unified communication or unified technologies play well with each other is a big part of implementation and looking at the ROI.
Okay, excellent. At this point, what I want to do is I want to pause the discussion, and I'd like to invite Aaron Ryder from InterPros, the sponsor of today's webinar, to say a few words. Aaron?
Thanks, Mike. And thanks again to all the panelists today, Sheila, Ryan, John. Obviously, technology is a big deal to us as a debt recovery platform developer and provider. And we have a pretty specific perspective on it when it comes to competitive differentiation. So we're pretty excited to sponsor this topic. Staying competitive in technology today, particularly, is exciting and paralyzing. Just in the last 5 years, everybody who's listening on this call and in this industry, in the arm industry, has seen enormous leaps in not only the technology available to the market, but the acceptance and the overall adoption rate, which has been very exciting for us. What's most interesting about this time is the number of new technology companies that have sprung up to capitalize on the advancements in things like computing power, cloud infrastructure, and machine learning algorithm design, interface tools. I mean, you name it. There's whole business models that are built off of niche technology items like data analytics or dialing functionality or communication channels, and we're totally energized by it. We view all these new technology providers as opportunities to make our product better. Integrations make us more powerful and give our customers more capabilities as they manage from our collection platform. But therein lies the competitive advantages around technology that we work so hard to stay on top of. So we think of our model is key, leveraging all the exciting tech coming available, and that there's a competitive open market for our customers to go find the best third-party tech that fits their business and then integrate it. So as these technologies become more complex and nuanced, we think that the last thing we need, you as customers would want is be required to use a proprietary solution. And it's exciting to have these conversations about competitive advantage in technology because there's just so many new opportunities are available on the market. And we believe our customers to be truly competitive and leverage the market differentiators or their own secret sauce, they should be able to find the service provider that facilitates that need the best. So anyway, we are super excited here at InterPros about the direction of technology in the industry, and we think you should be too. And I'm thrilled that we're able to sponsor discussions like this one and see so many interested listeners on it. It's a very exciting time in the industry that we're devoted to serving. So if you want to see what we're up to, come check us out. Schedule a time to talk to our website at www.interpros.com. If you're looking at the screen, then Mike has made some pretty graphics for you. Click off of there. But thanks again, guys. This is an exciting topic for us.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Aaron. And thanks again to InterPros for sponsoring today's webinar. Just a final reminder, if anybody has any questions, please type them into your Zoom webinar control panel, and we'll ask one of the panelists as we're going through our conversation today. John, my turn to circle back to you. You had mentioned something earlier, which I think it was very interesting and sort of fits in with the definitely fits in with the topic we're having today in terms of competitive differentiation, and that's this interesting concept of pay-to-play. I'm curious how you sort of, recommend or how you would advise an agency to sort of manage that if a client comes to you and says, we're going to send you more business if you buy X, and maybe, how you sort of figure out whether it fits, doesn't fit, and sort of how you go through that decision-making process.
Well, a lot of times that's kind of it's kind of driven by the client in that respect. If the client requires a certain technology, you tend to figure out how to implement it, or at least go through the rigors of, to say if it's compliant, it's going to work within your operations. There's going to be tweaks that you'll have to make along the way, and those are just headaches that you'll have to deal with that, when you're in heartaches that you'll have to go through that. But to get the new business to come in the door, I would say that would be something that you would have to kind of look at. Not only a new business coming in, but kind of the heartache that's going to happened on your operations and finances. If it's a small client, I would say probably not, but that might be something that we look at as a trend for other clients out there that may be looking for the same capabilities.
See, I think this is where technology can be a real asset as an agency, because this sort of pay-to-play thing has come up, certainly with a couple clients of TrueCord. And there's an opportunity, though, when you – so TrueCord's a kind of digital-first, tech-forward collection approach. And we've got – it's an education opportunity for us with clients. So, for example, there's traditional expectations about some sort of linear strategy of offers getting better, settlement offers, and how they get managed. And, you know, all of our other agencies do it this way. They make this offer at this number of days, this offer at this number of days. And part of our job is to say, you know, I hear you, but the power of machine learning is about not trying to outguess what it's learned from, you know, 7 to 10 million debts that it's seen in its environment and trained, and kind of how do you get clients to trust the process? Well, you get clients to trust the process by kind of pushing back a little bit, giving some time and showing results. But I think there's where technology can really insert itself in a way that gives a little bit a shift to that dialogue, right? With that conversation between price and feature parity versus innovation and results gets quite interesting when you can push technology forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. It's almost when you get in those scenarios where you have a client and they're pushing that technology for you. Personally, you know, I never liked being in those positions myself, but it makes it hard kind of having to look into that crystal ball and say, well, what's going to be the next big thing that they're going to want to need? We always wanted to try to be ahead of the game, but sometimes that's hard to do. And that's where that ROI calculation comes into play, and hopefully get it right every single time. But I'm sure there's been quite a few people out there who have had a big client with maybe 30% of their income or their net income coming from one single client, and all of a sudden they're pushing something like integrations. I am of the opinion when things are easy, you go hard as you can, because when things get hard, you don't want to be stuck in a bad position. So whether it be merging or integrating software systems, say you have a software system that has their database and architecture that's different than yours, and all of a sudden now you're trying to integrate with that. Legacy systems I've seen sometimes have that hard, and it's almost like building a house of cards. If you end up doing it wrong, the things can come toppling down a lot of the times. So forecasting that ahead of time and trying to predict what investments to make is a important thing, so you're in the right position at the right time when they do ask those questions.
Yeah, integrations is a unique challenge, isn't it? I mean, a lot of companies have their own in-house systems they want integrations with, and it's important to be able to react to that. And how do you kind of, again, from a technology perspective, are you going to do it the hard way? Are you going to, you know, make the investment to build out all the APIs required to be more flexible for a lot more wider audience? There's a lot that can just go into a discussion of how do you best integrate with clients.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And the question is, do you do it internally or do you leverage third-party applications as well? You know, I know you guys take a certain approach when it comes to the software first and doing things internally. We did when I was working at a collection agency, and clients that I've seen before, and I know others take different approaches as well. And, you know, I hope as things progress, as we start seeing more and more companies come out, we can do things at a lower cost by integrating. There are advantages, obviously, to doing things internal as well, but navigating those is sometimes not easy.
Yeah, from your perspective, what have been some of those external systems that you found valuable in that process to help with that process?
So I have looked at Aaron's platform, InterPros. It seems like they have a good system in place when it comes to integrating and offering services like that. The ones that I've experienced in the past have been some of those legacy systems that were built on multi-value databases back in the 80s. You know, if you're going real far back when everybody was jumping from card catalog to computerized systems, I mean, that was a huge jump. I mean, going from taking like five cards out of the old pull drawer and then going into a system where you could have indexing and reference, things were moving fast. But there's been skip tracing tools out there. I'd say Clear, Thomson Reuters Clear, is a good product out there that we've seen. It's expensive, but I think that they're a good integration for skip tracing tools and finding out people, where people are, and information. If you're relying on your own internalized systems, sometimes that's hard. Even if you're a very large agency, you don't have all the information in the United States. So integrating with third parties sometimes just becomes a necessity at that point.
Yeah. I think client integration is key. You know, with our system, we're able to get information out where we can get it back into the system. Not a problem. I think more of the bottleneck for us lies in our clients' systems. Sometimes we have clients that use billing systems, sometimes they're newer, but they seem to have, there seems to be an overarching theme that they have a lack of integration capabilities with their collection partners for whatever reason. So right now we see a kind of a bottleneck, you know, mainly at our, with our clients' capabilities in that respect. And so we have to, you know, we use different softwares on our end to kind of automate that interaction. But even that interaction is, you know, we build it out, it's slow and it's, you know, archaic and stuff like that. But it would be fantastic if some of our clients or clients' billing systems could be able to have more integration capabilities to when it comes to their accounts receivable and collections.
Yeah, I think from any standpoint, even if we had it pretty cookie cutter, there's going to be some sort of data cleaning at some point in time when you transition from their system, the clients, to your systems internally, just to keep records clean to make sure that the data as things come, you know, the next 5-10 years is going to become more and more important, and to really leverage, you know, the AI and machine learning, the things that are coming up, you need to have clean and good data so we have good output. and yeah, you could talk to quite a few people about that, and, you know, bad in, bad out, right?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I mean, you know, we have, and they're, you know, I wouldn't say large clients, but they're medium size. I mean, they're good size clients, but they do everything by hand. I mean, they have, and their bottleneck right now is, you know, a couple people leave and new people come in. And then there's a backlog of data entry. So it's not only data entry coming out of their system where they have to, you know, either log into the spreadsheet or, you know, their system just does not have the capability of exporting data out of their system. And then that's the same with importing, you know, payments and stuff like that every month. So they have employees, you know, several full-time employees, and that's their only job is to get data in and out of their system. Mm-hmm. And into ours or whoever or the other agencies that they're using. And so I think that's the aspect that's most frustrating to us at the moment with when it comes to integration with clients. And I see that as probably the biggest opportunity for technology providers out there if they're some sort of middleware providers out there that could provide those links. And these are pretty common billing systems in our space that could be out there and kind of bridge that gap, so to speak. And I think they would do very well in that space. What is the need?
Excellent. Well, at one point, Ryan, I think you were talking about necessities. And what I wanted to do was maybe get a sense from the panel in terms of what technology they consider to be absolutely necessary for a collection agency to be successful today. And I'm sure we can all agree they need computers, they need phones, they need stuff like that. But what technology, are we talking like sort of the ability to text, the ability to email, direct route voicemail, ATDSs, things like that. What technology would you consider to sort of be the core functionality of a successful collection agency today?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is money, payments. Anything you can do to not only just get payments in, but give options out there. I would say having logons where you could have consumers come in and interact not only helps the consumer get familiar with your business and your brand, it also gives some sense that they can achieve things on their own terms. They don't have to necessarily talk to a collector. It increases your likelihood of having a happy consumer paying a debt that they don't really want to do at the end of the day. So I would say customer interaction tools that are coupled with payment solutions is probably one that's going to be a necessity if it hasn't been already. Down the road, I see communication tools like texting, email, anything to do with unified communications and how to handle that is going to be a necessity as well.
Yeah, I'll just add to that. I think when I look at the necessity component, and I apologize, we are having an unplanned fire drill here. I've been asked to vacate four times now. Right. So I think there's two things that are absolute necessity. Compliance, right? So it is getting increasingly more challenging to keep up with how, complying with state laws, federal laws, local jurisdictions. So I think any technology that you can wrap around that compliance piece to make sure that you can't make a mistake or it's highly unlikely that you make an error that is not a human error is vitally important. And then I think the other, and John, you were alluding to this with ways to log on. It's sort of enabling consumers to self-serve in their channel of choice is hugely important because everyone's life is so busy. And it's not about relevance or importance and people should want to take my phone call because it's important. I mean, I look at it, I have a financial planner. He's really important too, but I don't answer his phone calls. We don't have a meeting, right? It's not about that. It's about how busy everyone is. And if you can create an environment where consumers on their own time and on their own terms can go take care of anything from setting up a payment plan to disputing and interacting with you, I think that's kind of a must have going forward and certainly even today that this kind of technology is invested in.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think I should have left out compliance. That's probably one of our top ones, if not being the top. Compliance is almost a no-brainer nowadays, almost like taking payments. You have to protect yourself because those lawsuits do get expensive. There was a mention about middleware. I think that's going to become, the more we rely on technologies and integrations and they get more complex, the more we're going to have to rely on ways to get that information through. So I think middleware is going to be one of those things that will become a necessity at some point in time, building out APIs for, say, scoring vendors or letter vendors, things that are already in place, but managing those things all under one house and making it easy for our teams to make sure when something goes wrong, we can fix it quickly. If we need to make a change on the fly, that we can do so. And that goes back up to the compliance thing as well. So other things I could say probably that would become a necessity along with the contact management would be litigation workflows, all the way down to like collector efficiencies and workflows, and reporting as well. Knowing when something goes wrong, even the mile high view of looking at your quarters and years, what changes are we making and how do we forecast those in the future? I think all those are necessities to have a good agency.
Excellent. Well, John, we talked a little bit before about this whole concept of pay to play. Let's look at this from the other aspect. We're talking, the topic for today is technology as a competitive differentiator. So wanted to spend a few minutes talking about how an agency can promote any investments it's made in technology or in its systems to prospective clients or to current clients. Do you have any advice or insights into how a collection agency can promote that its technology when marketing and promoting itself?
You know, I would say any technologies that promote compliance, you know, customer service or consumer service to their consumers, I would say in the form of low complaint rates, client support, how are you going to support them in the end, you know, like client portals and integration, speed to implementation and performance. You know, at the end of the day, the clients first want to feel safe about the choice of your agency. You know, they want to be able to say, okay, I feel comfortable placing accounts with you, you're going to be compliant, and you're not going to be yelling at our clients. And they also want to, but, you know, they also want to make sure that you're able to perform at that level too. And you know, at the end of the day, easy to work with. So if you're safe, you know, and they're confident in your performance and you're easy to work with, usually the sales process goes a lot smoother in those cases. So any technology that promotes those things like compliance, customer service, low complaint rates, ease of staff to be using your service, you know, fast to implement and your performance, I think, you know, those are the things to highlight. Technologies that promote those type of features, you know, over other agencies.
Yeah, my experience.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sheila. Yeah. Sorry, Ryan. Yeah, my experience is clients are interested in that technology roadmap. Hugely interested, and in a lot of cases, creditors, particularly lenders, have gone through this digital transformation in their own environment. They do all their lending on the line online. They do servicing online. And then there can be this disconnect when you get to the collection process. This is suddenly this service doesn't fit with the consumer relationship I've established, which is the consumer wanting to come in, do business with me in a kind of digital format. And so the ability to talk about that roadmap and how it links to their brand image, how technology can ease away inconsistencies in agent performance, but you can gain consistency in automated performance, which can drive down lawsuits, can drive down complaints, kind of keeping with that strategy. No one kind of comes to the table saying, hey, I want to sign up with a vendor that's kind of status quo, or I want a vendor who has no roadmap to stay competitive. So my experience is that the clients that we talk to, existing clients and future clients, are really keen to see your roadmap. What do you think is coming around the corner? What do you think of the next year? How is your product going to align to it? What services are you creating? And it's been an actual huge selling point to be able to have that conversation about technology and about that roadmap.
I have a follow-up question for you. So since you're a tech-first collection agency or a software company that is a collection agency, the culture has to be a bit different internally than a traditional collection agency. When adopting new technologies, how is it bringing those inbound? Is it just a normal day for you guys, or do you have to convince your staff?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that we almost have the reverse impact of a traditional collection agency. So we've got a staff that started with True Accord that's largely here because of the mission and because of the technology. And it's almost the other way around that we have to have conversations about, are we a tech company or are we a collection company? Are we customer focused or client focused? And these are real conversations in True Accord. And you know, coming into it from you know, one, not having worked in kind of collection agency industry or necessarily the tech industry, trying to bridge that gap in those conversations. But I think that we have the similar struggles of every other company. What is it that we want to invest in? And I think what one of you mentioned earlier, there's always more demand than you have resource for. So it's kind of getting that prioritization. So I don't think at its core we're massively different. I think that we probably have a lot more engineers and a lot fewer front consumer facing staff is how we're set up a lot differently.
I think from my experiences that I've seen with, you know, the traditional agencies, I'm talking ones that have been in business 50, 60, 70 years, they've obviously made it thus far.
Absolutely.
They've gone through quite a bit of change, but technology has been fast, and this is very hard to digest, and I'm sure this resonates with a lot of the followers or listeners out there. That sometimes is hard, and getting your team behind those decisions with those traditional platforms is very key to making sure that that's going to be successful. Because when you're implementing a tool and it's not adopted by your team, or they immediately say, well, this isn't going to work, even though it's on your roadmap of, you know, 12 months down the road, this is where we want to be, and I need this critical part to work. Your team is very important. Communicating that is extremely important. So I was just curious, obviously, from your standpoint, how that is. And thank you for your answer.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, because we do have that, hey, is this for a client because a client asked, or is this because we're making our product better? And that one of the ways it manifests itself into maybe dissatisfaction internally is, hey, I want to be able to create this cool product stuff, and I don't necessarily want to be that kind of taking orders from clients sort of internal mentality. Well, we know, you know, as leaders of the organization, we're here to serve the clients. We're going to do, you know, what meets their needs, and we're going to provide an excellent consumer experience in the process too. So getting that balance correct, I don't think it sounds a lot different in our environment versus a more traditional.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some of the legacy, you know, older collection agencies out there, I think they're kind of, I find they're updating their collection systems to have more broader capabilities, or at least integration capabilities. You know, when we were looking for platforms out there, and this is going back a number of years, but we were looking at some of the more traditional kind of industry leaders, platform leaders out there for the collection software. What we were finding is that they had very good integration, but only with a few players, and they didn't have any integration capabilities outside of, you know, those players. Or if you wanted to, you would have to pay, you know, then there would be a, you know, big fee to it. So I think with the newer systems that are coming out now, they have more of a plug and play type of capabilities, to where new technologies, new companies can go out there and kind of compete in that same space as kind of the new technology companies out there, so to speak, and compete on the same level.
Yeah, I would agree. At the end of the day, convenience is king. I think that goes with a lot of different things when it comes to implementing. Yeah. You know, if you have a software system where you're building, and it's your programmers are 2.5 times the amount of a normal one with a newer language, it makes it very hard, or they're harder to track down. The demand is in because it needs to be supported, and there's not as many connections. Maybe it takes 10 times the length of time to get the same output with a newer language, but you've built in 30 years of changes into the system. What do you do? Do you keep building on the same house, or sell the house and move into a new one?
And that goes right into your ROI calculation, right?
Exactly. Comes full circle.
Yep.
I think this is these are topics that many agencies are looking at, is do I make these large changes and will it pay off? Because my client's reputation, my reputation, my potential client might leave me. These things are all at stake. Are the employees going to be able to handle this large change? So on and so forth. So I think things are getting easier every year, every month, as things progress, and it's getting to the point where it will probably become a necessity to integrate with other programs out there that are in healthcare, banking, property management, so on and so forth.
I'm curious, you know, to your point about, you know, agencies having that question about sort of how to figure that out, how, you know, what advice do you give them? How do they, you know, how do they answer that question? Or how do they begin to answer that question?
Well, I think, you know, you can look at that from a large picture. I mean, what we're here to do is collect money, right? And if you were looking back in, say, 1980s, 1990s, it's different than it is today because we have the internet. The internet connects everyone and it compounds our issues a bit. One thing that I've noticed agencies starting to take more attention to is social networking. You know, when you get on and you're looking for an agency and one agency has 2-star rating and the other has a 4.5, 5-star rating, and they've got 20 to 40 people singing a good song of, hey, they helped me out, or the client saying they did a good job, that has a large impact. So navigating that along with navigating, is this a good move for us to do? What type of clientele do we have? What custom programming have we done? Those are all things that have to be looked out and laid out, and really say, what value is this to me and our organization, and what do we get from changing over? It becomes quite complex. I would say, usually moving to newer platforms that are a little bit more dynamic are going to be better in the long run. It really depends. I mean, if you have a client that's 50% of your income and they're a very, very large client and you've done some heavy integrations, that's a little bit more risky of a move, where you're a little more diverse with your portfolio and, you know, you're going to have less integrations. Everybody just kind of brings things in online and you don't have heavy customization. That's a different approach.
Yeah, and I wonder how much you guys are thinking about those integrations in terms of having a minimum spend commitment in the first year for heavy customized policies and procedures, heavily customized integrations. Have you broached that subject yet, or just sort of take the business, turn the business away? I'd just be interested in, there's quite a lot of conversation on this call about integrations and how complex that is, and it's expensive, it takes some time. What you're thinking is on minimum commitment for a big integration.
Yeah, so I took the approach that many Fortune 500 plus companies looked at, and that was categorizing businesses in small and medium-sized business, enterprise, and government. It's easier to pay attention to those benchmarks and say whether you're going to accept a client. If they're a small and medium-sized business, obviously your reputation's online along with the client, but you want to do your best. But it comes to a point you're going to look at, what's my return? We're all in the name of, you know, in business to make money and make sure that our businesses succeed. So I had done some customization and setting up benchmarks that are different for each client. But if you can, you know, guess that you're bringing in, say, $10,000 in account listings versus $100,000 in account listings per month, it's going to be a different approach. Say if they're listing more than $500,000 in a given month, it's obviously you're going to want to lean into that for customization a little bit more.
Makes sense.
John, have just you came across the same issues on that?
Oh, same again.
Have you kind of came across the same type of issues with your experience?
Yeah, I would, you know, again, you would have to go, I always go back to, you have to define and kind of measure what, before going any type of commitment or project, you got to kind of go back and define kind of what the, what your expected return is on, you know, any given project or investment. I would, yeah, I would go back to that kind of define phase, so to speak, and try to figure that out. If you go to, say, a commitment to implement a new system or technology, you got to look back, okay, are we solve, you know, we have 100 projects here, is it going to solve half of them, but, you know, it's going to cause us this heartache over here with this, you know, one of our major clients. Those are, that's some of the risks that you're going to have to take, but it might have a larger ROI in the long run. Like Ryan and Sheila said.
I'd like to actually expand on something I said. You know, one of the considerations that I have seen that factor in a lot of the time is the quality of the data, what data you're getting. Because that does affect sometimes your other accounts, depending on if they're packeted together, depending on obviously compliance laws. But, you know, you might be bringing in those accounts and you might agree to a lower rate or that you're going to have more customization. But what are you getting out of the relationship in the long run? So,
yeah. So it's more of a short term, medium term, and long term kind of outcome that you're trying to achieve. And so kind of goes into the overarching direction that you want to take the company. And so that's kind of a, tends to be more of a higher level conversation at that point of whether you want to go forward with a huge technology change at risk, risking one of your biggest clients. And then how do you manage that risk if you want to go forward? So, yeah.
Sheila, how do you guys approach, or what has been the talk with you guys when it comes to turning away clients or accepting clients? What type of customization that you guys do? What has been the talk with, since it's been a topic for you guys?
Yeah, it's very topical right now because we've kind of, similar to your approach, Ryan, where you kind of looked at small to medium businesses, government, segmented it out. I think there are very large enterprise client opportunities that, as you know, take a long time to make the deal, long time to onboard, heavy customization, and then really heavy oversight once they get landed. Our approach has been developing this year an approach that says, we want to do business with a certain number of those every year, but our core audience might be the audience that we get in front of and say, look, we are the experts in digital collection. Here's our policy and procedure manual. Here's the dashboard you're going to get. Here's what we're going to do in terms of an integration. Here's the kind of, you know, codes we pass back and forth and sort of take control of that dialogue a little bit more. And we're having quite a bit of success there. And maybe it's just because of sort of it's a different opportunity for clients, but it's always a struggle when you get into enterprise clients. You know, there's not a lot of kind of no do it our way scenarios going on there. So I think for us, it's been really investing over the last year in our ability to integrate. We put a lot of effort into saying, hey, let's cut integration timing down by, you know, 60-70% so that we can get live with the business much faster and take the friction out of the process with the client. So we're sort of attacking it from two angles.
Yeah. With those discussions you're having with those larger clients, I would assume from my experience, I've seen that brand and reputation management is becoming more of a hot topic for them. It's not necessarily just collect the money, which is the objective of an agency, but how are you going to help protect the brand of the client, the reputation of the client? Does your agency or does your company reflect that with their ratings online, or is it, oh yeah, we'll just do our best to collect and then leave you with whatever's left over?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that, go ahead.
Well, no, thanks for asking the question. I mean, we have a 4.7 rating on Google, consumers consistently, and we kind of talk about this when we're talking to clients, is we pay very close attention to NPS, to Google ratings, to brand reputation. We will guarantee that we'll have lower complaints, lower lawsuits, et cetera. So I think, you know, for us, we've always been brand focused, and probably because the True Accord brand in and of itself, we want to be a consumer recognized brand. We probably take extra care beyond, above and beyond the client's reputation, because we're trying to protect our own.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I agree with you. We're, the objective is to not only have your clients be the creditors, but protect their clients as well.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's been a change I've seen in the last 10 years alone, just with how agencies are approaching the new technologies, dealing with consumers, dealing with emotional intelligence and how people are dealing with each other. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, our largest clients, probably our top five, I would say agency performance as far as recovery rate is not even a factor in their mind. It's all about complaint rates. So as long as they don't get any complaint or anything else like that, they love us.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, we still perform, but, you know, that never comes up in the discussions or anything else like that. It's all about how do you treat the customer? How do you treat the client and make sure that they have a good experience and, you know, you have some sort of complaint mitigation process in there to kind of de-escalate those situations when they do get, you know, upset.
Yeah, that's a good point. Savvy buyers are out there, and their first question isn't what are your liquidation rates? Show me your performance. It's how do you handle disputes?
Yep.
And how do you ensure, compliance? And you know, there's worse things for a creditor than missing a recoveries forecast when it comes to brand and reputation issues. I think they'd trade off for missing a recoveries forecast any day.
Yeah, I would agree.
Excellent. Well, we've only got about a minute or so left, but what I'd like to do is wrap up with one question for each of the panelists before we stop, and that's, you know, sort of looking at what overarching area should collection agencies be seeking to address with technology investments, you know, collector productivity, compliance, risk mitigation, contact rates. If you were to sort of advise them in terms of how to prioritize where they should be looking today, especially heading into 2020, we'd love to get your feedback on that as we wrap up. John, would you mind going first?
You know, I guess to start out, you know, you just have to know kind of go back to the beginning. You have to know your numbers, your capabilities, where the gaps exist. So, and then concentrate on those areas where the largest gaps or opportunities for the ROIs exist, and then while maintaining the other areas. And I would say also, yes, I have to have the discipline to shelve other projects until, you know, those resources become available.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you very much, Sheila.
Yeah, I would say looking at that, all of the above, but let's say compliance is table stakes, right? You have to be compliant. The next thing I would tackle is phone calling. I think that phone calling is randomized phone calling is the most problematic, least sustainable practice in collection today that's a carryover from the legacy, right? For every phone call made, fewer than 2% end up in an intended outcome, you know, a contact with your intended person and a payment. So think what I would be looking at is how do you continue to shift your business away from making phone calls at inconvenient times to customers, because it's just not sustainable in the long run.
Yeah, to build on what you just said, I agree with you. if you're looking at what has happened with these robocalls here in the last 5 years, I mean, that has dramatically affected even, you know, major calls, and I'm sure agencies are getting on these lists where it's your calls aren't getting through. I mean, there's statistics out there where 60% of calls people aren't answering anymore, and I'm sure that's going to increase throughout time. So finding effective ways to communicate, more importantly, finding a good platform that's going to grow with these changing technologies is very important. So I think data is going to become, you know, like gold. Like when the California gold rush happened, data is going to be the new gold. So how you store data, where that data is, and how you have access to data and integrating things is going to be a big part of the future investments. So, and that it goes with compliance, managing reputation, so on and so forth. So just be wary of what you're building on. Make sure you're looking into the future and how to foolproof your agency, and you should be okay.
Excellent. Well, Ryan, John, Sheila, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today. I really appreciate your perspectives. This was a great conversation. Thank you. You guys were awesome.
Yep. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And I want to thank InterPros one last time for sponsoring today's webinar. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks to the team over there. For more information about that, about them, please go to www.interpros.com. Thanks to everybody who listened today. A final reminder to please take a minute and fill out the feedback survey to help identify topics and speakers that will be of the best use to you going forward. Recording this event will be posted hopefully by the end of the day to accountsrecovery.net. And I hope everyone stays tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future. I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their day. Thank you very much. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.